on Canucks Central. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here on Sportsnet 650. And we are in the Mobile Kintech studio live at Barnside Brewing in Ladner. The patio is, it's almost full. Inside is definitely full. We got former NHLers in here. Stanley Cup winner and Ken Priestley, Dave Babich in the house as well. It's a pretty good night here at Barnside Brewing as we celebrate the launch of Five for Fighting, the new Hazy Pale that we've got, Sportsnet 650 in partnership with Barnside Brewing. I can't wait to get my hands on one after today's show, Sats.
And I love that we have the 650 logo on it.
Yes.
You know, it's just cool to have our own beer, you know.
You know, it's reminiscent of like the jersey sponsorships that are on a lot of jerseys nowadays, you know. It's kind of like on the crest area.
But people will like ours.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think people have kind of just like gotten accustomed to the advertisements on the jerseys anyway.
It is still minor.
It's like hardly noticeable, really.
It's non-intrusive, really. Yes. Once you get over like the initial, you know, annoyance of it.
First month, it was like, okay, this is a lot. Now it's fine.
Yeah, nobody cares.
I do have a confession to make, though, before we get to the open.
What's this?
Given many of our listeners, Gordy Locke, I think Viking Stat earlier, and a few others, pointed out a tweet to me today that I have no idea how real it is. From Bernd Freimuller, who's been scouting for a long time in Europe, according to his ex-page.
When was the page discovered? Like, when was the page set up?
It was...
don't tell me it was, like, 2 days ago or something. Okay, 2015.
No, he's got 3,000 followers.
He's
in Austria. So he's a European hockey guy. I don't know. I want to believe it. Yeah. Confirmed by several sources, the NHL is eager to allow their players with Italian ancestors to play for Italy at the Olympics. That would mean bypassing the 16 months rule that players have to play in Italy to be eligible. We will see what the IIHF has to say about this. I would love for this to happen, and secretly in the break I was trying to put together my team, and then Sat caught me.
Yeah, I was like, what is this guy? I was looking at your computer, just he was going through stats. I just looked over, I'm like, why are all these Italian names?
Just searched Ellie in the, like.
Look, I'm telling you, the forward group on early look, the forward group is looking pretty good.
Like, when do you want to do this?
We might have to steal a couple of guys that might, you know, make Team Canada one day.
Right.
Like,
did you factor
Macklin Celebrini? You know, I don't know. You might want to play for Italy one day.
Did like Sorelli get on the team?
I can't pick Sorelli because he's already on Team Canada.
Right. Okay.
So do you want to
pick
Pietrangelo
as well?
Do you want to do it overrated, underrated?
We're gonna have to do this later.
I'll put it in there.
Yeah, we'll have to do this later in the show. maybe after 5:30 we'll go through the roster a little bit.
I'm excited for this.
Still got to find any defenseman that could potentially play, and netminders. We'll figure it out.
Tony D'Angelo, sign him up for Reach's team.
Can we get Mattias Macelli to give up his Swiss ancestry for Italian? I mean, it's kind of the same, right? Anyways, enough of that. Stan and Satyar Shah. It's the open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the open.
Four! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
It is the open on Canuck Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. Some interesting things happening in practice today. We'll get you updated on that in the Canuck Central roundup. But sort of on the back burner of Canucks conversations, given everything else that's been going on with the team, the injuries, the absences, the day-to-day games, on the back burner has been Brock Besser's contract that expires at the end of this year.
Yeah.
And scored 40 last year, was really on fire before he got hurt. He took the hit from Tanner Jeannot. That put him out of the lineup for a bit. We haven't seen him find form again just yet for the Canucks. He's had some good flashes, but we just know how good Brock can be, and he hasn't yet got there. And this update came from Nick Kiprios, our colleague at Sportsnet 590 The Fan in Toronto, and you hear Kipper and Bourne every day on Sportsnet 650 from 2 to 3, their national hour. With Jake Guentzel pushing the value of unrestricted free agent scoring wingers up, Besser is looking for 8 years, north of $8 million average annual value range, and Vancouver isn't yet prepared to pay him what his projected value is. If no contract extension is on the way, the idea of losing him for nothing in free agency isn't all that appealing either. Canucks management isn't one to sit around and have been rather busy traders in recent seasons. Until an extension is signed, Besser will be a trade candidate to watch this season. That from Nick Kiprios. What do you make of that update from Kipper?
Yeah, and I mean, to me, the $8 million stuff is stuff that we already kind of covered a few weeks back. And this is before Besser suffered his concussion. We spoke about how, don't be surprised if you hear that contract negotiations have started or will start very soon around Besser. Got off to a good start, came up to good playoffs, and the time to get something done would be now if you think he's going to have a good year, as opposed to later in the season when he is putting together maybe another 30-plus goal season. So I had heard that that was something that would be coming. I'm not sure how far down the road they've gotten on contract negotiations to this point. I think when he got concussed, it put everything on a bit of a pause as far as where things were at, and for him just focusing on getting better and coming back and being healthy. And there's a lot on the plate for management right now with the number of injuries that they're going through. So I'm not expecting anything, you know, sizable happening or has happened. But I do think this is kind of what we expected. If you're looking at the type of contract that at the starting point Besser's camp would demand, it would very much be in the mold of what Travis Konecny got.
Yeah.
So we're talking about $8 million plus over 8 years.
Yeah.
Konecny's same draft class, same age. He has back-to-back 30-goal seasons. Besser obviously hasn't done that before, but he has the 40-goal year. If you look at their points per game, you look at their goals per game rate, Besser is actually slightly better than Konecny so far through their careers. The comparables all line up very favorably for Brock Besser to demand a contract at the same or higher than Travis Konecny.
Yeah.
Ultimately, like we mentioned even, you know, a month or so back, I'm not expecting that type of deal to get signed in Vancouver. Can you get him signed to a more team-friendly number long-term? And if that number is $8 million even over 8 years, maybe. But I think that's where it comes down to. How much does Besser want to stay in Vancouver? And is he willing to take a little bit less to stay here?
It's a fascinating conversation right now. I mean, Besser, the 40 goals, everything he provides to this team, finding scoring wingers anywhere in the National Hockey League, basically impossible unless you're paying a pretty big price in the way that Tampa Bay did for Jake Guentzel. He's fit in like a glove with the Lightning. But the numbers are there for Besser to expect, and we sort of went through this in the summer when we were looking at different kinds of conversations with Besser, and the idea that he would sign a team-friendly contract has always been there. But under $8 million, like, that's too much of a team-friendly contract. That's a lot of money to be leaving on the table if you're Brock Besser. Even $8.5 million, given what we know now, and his agent is probably, you know, using this as leverage as well. If the cap does go up to $95, $96 million, Sat, you know what? An $8.75 million a year contract is 9% of the cap. It's not huge. It's not exorbitant. With the way that the cap is going, you know, that is only going to go down from next year and onward. So there's a lot of leverage that Besser has in his favor should he get back to scoring goals the way that he had last year and at the start of this season for this team. I don't see a way that you can realistically negotiate this to be under the $8.5 million that Travis Konecny just got with the Philadelphia Flyers. It doesn't really compute. And if Besser is going to be able to say, I can get $9 million on the open market at the very least over 7 years in a similar way to Jake Guentzel did, then, you know, that's going to be a tough bargain for the Canucks to get to.
Yeah, but is he getting $9 million in free agency?
If he scores 40 again.
Yeah.
Given where the cap is going?
Sure, if he gets 40, I'm not sure he's getting 40.
We're talking about 40, a $7, $8 million jump in the cap this year, Sat.
Yeah, it's true. Nine?
So if we're talking about him getting 8.5, how far, like, the bridge to 9 is not all that far.
Yeah, but that's over 8 years, you know what I mean? The 9 number is just such a big number reserved, and I know Guentzel got it, but Guentzel also has such a bigger, longer track record as well. I know Besser's going to be a little bit younger.
But Guentzel also took less to be with Tampa.
Yeah, but that's Tampa. Yeah. Right? Like, you're right. I mean, there are so few players that hit free agency, and if he truly wants to make the most money possible, then he can hit the market.
Yeah.
But the Canucks do have the advantage of offering the 8 year, and other teams can't. So, you know, 8x8 for Vancouver is essentially the same as somebody offering him 9.7 on the market.
Yeah.
And if he's not getting 9.7, could you actually get him signed slightly less than $8 million? Like, could you get him done for 7.75 over 8 years? Like, if you could do something along those lines, it'd still be the second biggest contract ever handed out in franchise history.
Yeah. It just it seems as though, not that Brock would be leaving a ton of money on the table, but it does seem like a low number given where the cap is headed. This is going to depend on where Brock is. I think the Canucks are smart for seeing where Brock is going to end up, you know, and how he fares. But this feels more like a Philip Pronik conversation where the Canucks and Besser are going to be grinding it out, you know, seeing where things head before you actually get to an agreement. The thing that I wonder about is, from what Kipper mentioned, you know, is this a player that the Canucks could get close to allowing to walk into free agency? And that's
no.
Maybe not a ideal situation for this team. We've talked about this in the past. Like, okay, you want to let Brock walk. You don't like the number that he's angling for with this next contract, or you don't think it's going to age well, whatever your idea is of that. Well, who are you replacing Brock with? Because you still got to replace those 30-plus goals in the lineup if you're not getting them from Brock Besser.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be so hard to replace, and as far as finding top six guys, you're right. A lot of it comes down to a guy like Lekromäki, but, you know, he's not ready yet for that role.
That would be a lot of pressure to put on a young kid.
Exactly. He might be a few years away from making that type of an impact, right? So I think, like, you have to be patient.
To me, Lekromäki, like, his projection, I'd rather, if I'm penciling it in, like, I project this guy to take over Connor Garland's spot in the lineup.
Right.
In a year and a half's time rather than Besser spot in the lineup next year.
Yeah, and I think that's a big part of it. Like, I think if they're able to project that for a year or two down the road, sure, but I don't think it has any bearing on Besser, and you have to replace Besser in the lineup anyways. Like, if you have Besser and Lekromäki comes up and becomes a part of the equation, now the top six looks a lot more formidable. So if you lose Besser, you're back to having to add somebody else, even though you have that player. You're still one guy short that you're trying to add to your group here. And I do think, though, that this team isn't going to let him walk for nothing. I think when you get to the trade deadline or close to it, there's going to be a decision made. We saw what they did with Pettersson, who was a year out, but because it's such a big player for them and a big deal that they wanted to get ahead of it, they didn't want to wait until, you know, the final year. But with Besser, even getting to January, I think is kind of going to be around the point. It's like, hey, you don't have to figure it out now, but I'm sure when conversations restart again, we're not that far away from ultimatums being placed.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's going to happen at some stage. We've seen the MO of this front office. You know, they're going to put a deal in front of you that they think is fair and their maximum. And if that doesn't do it, the player's going to get moved. We saw it with Bo Horvat. We saw it as well with
to a certain extent, Pettersson.
With Pettersson, but he didn't end up getting moved. So that's kind of how they're going to approach it. And they're not going to let him walk for nothing. The team isn't at a position yet where you can feel comfortable taking your shot this year and living with the fact that he walks as a free agent. You're not close enough to do that.
Yeah. It's for Brock, it's tough. And, you know, I wonder. So let's live in a world where the Canucks are still, look, they're not middling. As you mentioned earlier, they're on a 100-point pace for this year. So that's still pretty good. But if they don't show progress in their process, and it doesn't look like a team that has it to contend this year, or they continue to struggle through injuries, like, do you at any point, like, does it become a year where you are more inclined to sell rather than buy at the deadline? Like, does that compute for where this team is tracking, where this team is heading?
Well, considering some players they have, they are at a point where if they wanted to kind of punt on the year, they could. They have a few expiring guys, right, that you could maximize, and even guys that have another year left under a deal. So you're in a position where you could do some creative things and load up on some assets. So that obviously is within the, you know, realm of possibility if things get to a point near the deadline where they feel like even if we make the playoffs, we're not doing anything. That might exist. But as far as Besser is concerned, I can't imagine that your chances of succeeding this year has any bearing on what you want to do for the next 7 to 8 years with Brock Besser.
Right.
Right? Like, is your feeling that you're going to win or compete this year going to override anything else you're looking at long term? I can't see it that way. So I think for Besser, I think it just comes down to, is there a number that makes sense for them over 7, 8 years? And if they can get him signed for that, they'll do it. If not, he's getting moved. And I think that's irrespective of whether this team has a chance of doing anything this year or not.
This text comes in, replace Besser with Garland, replace Garland with a kid. We got $8 million in cap space. Hey, that's brilliant.
Easy said.
What are you going to do with the $8 million in cap space?
I mean, we've been through this stuff before, and I think one thing we all have to remember, as talented as these young players are, how long did it take for guys like Pettersson and even Quinn Hughes? Like, Quinn Hughes didn't make this impact his first 2 years in the league. It took him like 3 years to be the player he is today. And that's Quinn Hughes.
Yep.
Quinn
Hughes. Well, even Besser. I mean, it's taken him a long time.
Yeah.
We saw lots of ups and downs in his career, right?
And I'm all for adding youth, and I like them being part of the equation here. But if you have any serious aspirations to contend these next few years, especially with the contract for Quinn being favorable, still JT Miller, you know, he's coming back, but, you know, being a player that can make a big difference still in his early 30s, Demko has this year and 1 year left on his contract, like, you know, the window for this collection of core players, not all of them, but a couple of key guys, is the next couple of years here. How are you viewing these next couple of years?
Yeah.
And I can't imagine they want to take a step back for 2 or 3 years, right? I think it's about pushing forward. So I think that's the big part here, too, that if you're doing those things, you can't be replacing all these guys with kids, because the kids are going to take time.
A reminder, you know, Demko's only got a year left on his contract after this one, and Quinn Hughes will have 2 years remaining on his current contract before unrestricted free agency comes calling for him. All right, enough of that on Besser. We'll get to some of your texts a little bit later on. We did hear from Rick Tocchet today, and when he was asked about JT Miller, is JT Miller a possibility tomorrow, he said, I don't know. But I did find this clip from Rick Tocchet really interesting. He was asked about, hey, you know, getting your full forward group back, like, what can that do for the team, and how do you set things up? Here's what Tocchet had to say about getting his full forward group back into the lineup.
Yeah, it's exciting. I think, you know, when you get your full lineup, and then, you know, now it's like, you know, is it Millsy, Petey, is it Suter stays at center, Teddy, now you got four centermen, then you got some options, right? That third line, whoever that is, if it is Suits, Garland, and Dakota. Good matchups, you know, maybe we get to play them against a 5-6 defense. There's things like that that help out that we took advantage of last year. Can't be as not as top heavy. Might have to have some wingers that rotate, you know, in and out of certain positions for sustainability. That's, I think, the approach that we have to take.
Canucks haven't had that at all this year because Joshua was out early.
Yeah.
You haven't been able to build out that top nine that they really hoped for at the start of the year, and
Petey was really struggling the first, you know, 10 games of the season.
Miller's game, you know, he was producing, but, you know, there was gaps in his game and, mm-hmm. and how much he was able to drive play as well before he left the lineup. So you really haven't had, A, you've had absences, B, you've had guys struggling with, you know, getting their consistency and getting their level up to where it's at its full capability. And so you haven't had the best picture of the Canucks at any point this year. The idea of getting that back, maybe it's a little bit of fool's gold because there's always injuries you're going to have to deal with, but it does allow this Canucks team to do some different things and exploit different matchups with their forward group should they be able to get that together.
Yeah, and also a bit of an indication of how he wants the lineup to look and kind of wants to have Garland, Suter, and Joshua together on the same line. And you have the duo of Miller and Besser, then Pettersson and DeBrusk, and have the guys rotate through the top two. And I think he likes having three lines. And we should have known that too last year when they went out and got Lindholm. Like, they don't believe that having two good lines is enough. They want to have three lines that can be real high level. And to your point, if you have Miller and Pettersson back and they're both playing well, you can put that Garland-Joshua line in a lot of advantageous positions. Mm-hmm. Where they can get some, you know, like he mentioned, playing the 5-6 defenseman, playing the bottom six lines at times, and putting pressure and keeping the puck in the offensive zone. Because if they can do that and they can keep pressure going, well, then you can come at teams in waves, right? Yeah. And if your top two lines even out the matchup, then your third line can oftentimes win you games. And that's what we saw last year, right? How often was that line the hero line that won the Canucks games?
We can imagine Sherwood going back up with Pettersson and DeBrusk. Does leave open a spot with Miller and Besser. I imagine, you know, Höglander and Heinen are going to be fighting for that spot. Neither of them playing at a good level. We'll see what happens tomorrow. There'll be an update on JT Miller at the morning skate, whether or not he's good to go for the game against Florida. Canucks Central Roundup. Tockett did have an update on Elias Pettersson today. Here's what he had to say about Petey. All right,
He filled up his car tank. I'm just joking around.
How did he cook the eggs?
Petey had his eggs and bacon today, and he filled up his car tank. Tockett making a joke after he got a little perturbed at another Pettersson question post-game last night.
He's really trying to sell the it was a joke angle, right?
Is he overcompensating? Yeah, he's like, guys, just remember last night? I was still joking about that, by the way.
Is he overdoing it a little bit, right? Is he like, he's laying it on a little too thick?
Yeah.
he's certainly trying to deflect as much as possible right now.
I loved it, though, man. I'm all for moments like that because that just – Great sound bites.
Well, you know, I get it from Taka's perspective. He's deflecting, and he knows that, like, anything he says is going to be picked apart no matter what. You know, because after the Tampa game, you know, he says, you know, their best players were good, and that was the difference of the game. And so who are we all pointing the finger at? We're pointing it at Elias Pettersson, who had a tough game against the Tampa Bay Lightning, had trouble, you know, driving play. And that's really my only concern with Petey right now is he hasn't been able to drive play in a way that we would expect of a player of his caliber. However, we'll have to save that conversation for a little bit later because we are way late and the bosses just showed up, so I better break now before I really get a talking to. By the way, Derek Forbert, a strong possibility for tomorrow against Florida as well to close up the Canucks Central.
I really got a break, but I got this extra tidbit of information.
And this hour of Canucks Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Overrated, underrated is next on Canucks Central.